Hello, Greenhorns. This is Severin coming to you again from the Hudson Valley with the snowstorm just fading and the sun peeking out behind the clouds. This is radio for young farmers by young farmers every Thursday at 2 o'clock, hosted by myself and sponsored by Hearst Family Ranch in California. Wonderful beef for you and me. I'm joined today on the air live in person by Alex Gifford, who is on the line. Alex, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, welcome.
How's it going?
It's going really good. It's cold, but it's okay.
Yeah, it's beautiful out.
Tell us where you're coming to us from.
From Wilton, Connecticut. Sun just came out here.
Oh, wonderful. Not so far, in fact,
nope.
From our Hudson Valley. And tell us what you've been up to in Wilton, Connecticut.
Well, recently the farm has slowed down, but I've been doing a lot of soil making, turning over the compost piles, and been preparing for this coming spring, looking through seed catalogs, getting the greenhouse cleaned out.
It's a very nice time to fantasize about greenliness and flowers, and
exactly.
Sometimes a time to be over-generous with the flowers, which is a good impulse. Would you mind catching us up with your project and what's been going on for the last year on your side of the world?
Well, this was my first season going larger scale, and I have 1 acre under cultivation in Weston, Connecticut. I found other gardeners through Craigslist, actually, and found someone who wanted to convert a baseball field to a garden. And so we cleared out that land and planted a vegetable garden, got a lot of friends together, and had an abundance of food and canned a lot of it and got to sell some excess to local farm stand and got to meet a lot of people in the process.
The funny thing about starting a farm, you do tend to meet a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that it takes just from a startup perspective, because I think that's a lot of people's interest is what are the dynamics in that initial initiation phase, starting from bare ground, or your case, starting from a baseball diamond. Give us a little play-by-play.
Just reaching out to all your friends and family and asking questions. I'm a seeker of knowledge, so I pick everyone's brain of what they know about gardening and or farming, things that I'm interested in, and through that people told their friends about it, and I've received a lot of positive energy towards, the gardening. People want to come and see it and, share what they know about it. And I would say just be open, to all knowledge, coming your way, because it's all useful.
Now, you were starting this farm, and it was a baseball field. Wasn't that a little bit compacted, the soil?
Yeah. I mean, it was built by just they took in fill, from other. I think they, scraped away this hillside and compacted it. Yeah, there were a lot of rocks. At the beginning, we actually pulled the sod off the field because it was filled with weeds, and we just made it into a big pile, with a big excavator. We had a couple machine angels on our side that helped out with the project.
Wait, let's talk about those machine angels, because if you are like me and talk to many young farmers, you will discover that in the pantheon surrounding every young farmer in that community, there are these guys, typically guys, who have these machines that they use to help the young farmers with to achieve their ambitions. So tell us the story of how you discovered your machine angels.
Well, I guess it's just the story about, finding this initial garden. I was sitting around this time last year, putting my seeds in trays and getting excited and then reaching out to friends, and I got in touch with this guy, Bob, that owns a baseball field, and he is a developer. And he's built a bunch of, multi-million-dollar houses, and he knows a lot of contractors, and doing this farm was, he wanted to do the farm here. He just didn't have the knowledge and all the time to do it, And so he's been helping out a lot, and his friends have been jumping on board. And from the beginning, you know, when I met him in February, we started, you know, right away with a big excavator and dug a trench around the whole, after peeling all the sod off the field, we dug a trench around the whole field and put all the rocks in there and put chicken wire in for the gophers to keep the gophers out. And right now we have an excavator there turning over our compost piles, but it's been on and off with the machines, but every, you know, when you're relying off of free help, you just, you know, take whatever help you can when you can, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, and I've noticed there tends to be a necessity to feed the people afterwards. Do you have some kind of a kitchen set up where you can have that kind of eating?
No, we have an outdoor. We cleared a nice area. There's a little hill overlooking the baseball field, and we have a grill going all summer, pretty much every day it's going. And we just grill up vegetables out of the garden and or burgers or whatever.
Doesn't sound too bad. Sounds like maybe some of our radio listeners might be interested to volunteer on your farm.
Yeah.
One thing that they would help them if they were interested to do that would be to go online and see the beautiful photographs that one of your neighbors took. How do they? Will you remind us about that website? Or what I could more easily find it with a Google.
You have to search on Google. It's Viv's Hot Shots. V-I-V-S. H-O-T-S-H-O-T-S, and it's the first link. And then you go to Field of Greens, and there's about 1,600 pictures of the baseball field from the very beginning in February to about now when we're composting the leaves.
It's really, really beautiful, and I've posted it on the Greenhorns blog, so if that gets frustrating, you can easily Google it on our blog, which is thegreenhorns.wordpress.com. So that's a way for folks to be able to visualize what it exactly looks like when you transform a baseball diamond into a farm, which frankly is a really great idea. And there's even other lesser sports available for the converting. All sorts of like shot put fields in my past that I thought might make really good orchards.
Yeah, soccer fields or anything, any open.
We might get some angry calls. One thing I wanted to talk to you about in thinking about next season is how you're going to plan to be a little bit more organized with your volunteers or with your planting plan and marketing. What are the next steps to making this project, like taking this project to the next level?
Well, it's just been, you know, the networking and using the knowledge I've gained from last season to make it more efficient. I definitely do have plans. I know more of, you know, what crops to plant for my customers and what, you know, what I need to do to work more efficiently in the field. And also my volunteers that worked last year have learned a lot more in the process. I'm going at this year. It's almost a completely different project because we're taking on a lot more. I've linked up with a couple more gardens locally, and you know we're all going to help each other. And I'm really excited about this season.
It's exciting. It's a very exciting thing. Well, let's talk about what crops people want to eat in Western Connecticut. What was surprised? I was very surprised about the lettuces. I've talked a lot about the lettuces, but
yeah,
what sells near you? What's like the big hot seller near you, and what is surprisingly
difficult
to move? Yeah,
greens. I mean, greens are great. I mean, for me, it's still a lot of education, so I'm growing, you know, a lot of everything. My seed list was like 7 pages this season, but you know, main sellers: tomatoes, cucumbers. Some cut flowers, but greens, you know, are definitely a money maker. because they grow really quick. I have a nice little spot that grows, greens, the most beautiful, yummy greens. And herbs as well, basil. There's a lot of demand for that around here.
People get so excited about basil. It's amazing.
It's awesome.
Are you doing any, could you describe maybe your growing techniques? You're using machines, and you're using...
I mean, not really. We did use a machine at the beginning just to help pull out the rocks, because there were big rocks in the field. And then we've just been weeding by hand and, mulching, and we haven't been using any pesticides or fertilizers or anything. And we've just kind of been letting the plants do their thing.
And so would you call yourself an Elliot Coleman school? And that you're doing raised beds and pretty intensive cultivation? Or what are your main, sources other than your friends where you're learning about what to do?
Other local farmers, and that's pretty much it, just friends and local farmers. I mean, I've read some books. I've read a lot of Elliot Coleman stuff. And I've got a lot more experimenting on the farm to do this year to learn more of what I want to do. I'm really excited about, growing in hoop houses, raised beds. The composting I've been doing this winter has been really successful with taking leaves and grinding them up, adding manure and, worm castings, and it's really beautiful stuff. And doing that in raised beds and hoop houses, growing greens, is something that gets me really excited.
And, well, the USDA will give you the materials to do a covered hoop, not a greenhouse, but a those hoops, those season extension hoops.
Yeah.
With the membrane on top.
Cool.
You can go on the website of the USDA and know your farm or know your food. And there's a whole video, and then there's a link to the program where if you register yourself as a farm, then you can get a free kit.
Nice.
Anyway, useful to know, maybe?
Yeah, I need to read more. I mean, I'm still just so new to everything. I mean, I have been, interested in it a couple of years now, but it's the kind of thing that, my whole life I've been interested in it, but I've been actively pursuing, farming for a couple of years, and just takes... seasons of learning. There's so much, just such a huge industry. I went out to the Natural Foods Expo in Boston last fall, and there's thousands of booths, and it's a big industry. But they had all the organic stuff and different countries representing, and there were also some individual farmers there that had booths amongst all these international companies, and that was pretty inspiring. I talked to a noni farmer from Hawaii and a belted Galway farmer from Virginia and a sheep farmer from California, and that was really inspiring, seeing small farmers being really successful in this time especially.
Yeah, it's funny. My friend Derek just came back from the Fruit and Vegetable Expo in Syracuse, New York.
Nice.
And he said it was really funny to see Chick by Jowl, Dow AgriScience, selling him chemicals,
yeah.
And then, Grandma selling her pies.
Yeah.
And there's this wonderful thing, this wonderful diversity of scale that happens in the landscape and in agriculture.
Yeah.
Well, what do you feel like? Where do you feel like you're going to go? I mean, professionally, do you want to be doing a small farm, or is this going to be combined with other skills? Play it out a little bit.
It has to. You have to combine, all your skills. I'm out, moving furniture for people, and doing tree work and on the side to get by, because my farming project in its fledgling stages hasn't, been paying my bills. But I think that it will, in time. And I definitely want to always be growing my own food. I want to continue to learn. This is like an education process for me. I want to go stay with other farmers. I mean, I just learned about woofing and, you know, going and staying, you know, somewhere and learning, you know, permaculture from a farm that's been there, you know, 50 years is gaining knowledge that, you know, would take you, you know, so long to learn.
And in case you hadn't already known about it, there's a wonderful resource. It's the Organic Volunteer Network, and it's www.growfood.org. And they just had a really awesome relaunch with more kind of Web 2.0 functionality where essentially you as a volunteer can connect with farms that are looking for volunteers and make that connection and organize your trip so that you can have a fun adventure, farm-based adventure.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, using it to learn what I want to do as well, like aquaculture interests me, and I could spend thousands of dollars, you know, doing it myself and making mistakes, or I could go and stay with an aquaculture or multiple aquaculture places and learn if it's something I want to do and learn what type of, you know, system I would want to use.
Yeah, there's... just reading a book, and it said, the future is dark. And that when they said that, they didn't mean that it was dark, like there's darkness. It's more like it's unknown, and we have to discover.
Yeah.
And sometimes that discovery process and that journeyman period where you're really figuring out what kind of a person you are in relation to the plants and the animals and the activities that are most fulfilling to your particular soul, it seems like that takes a few years to figure that out.
Definitely takes some time. Even just a place, you know, so many, you go and visit different farms and, you know, if you're working in that field, you know, you're going to be working in that field a lot and you want to, you know, find a place that you feel at home.
And you know? Get to know the edges of the field, not only the middle.
Exactly. Like the baseball field backs up to an 1,800-acre open space and I'm out there hiking all the time. You feel more at home in the woods, you know, than on the field almost.
What's growing in your forest? What's the predominant,
it's the matrix? Very
what's
similar
growing?
To around where you are, just deciduous. There's some ridge lines with some pitch pines, some marshy shrubs, but mostly like just oaks, some beech and maples.
And are your leaves coming from that park, or are they coming from, like, the surrounding... There must be houses. This is Connecticut. There must be houses.
Oh, yeah. It's a fairly suburban, you know, area, lots of houses. And we just put the word out to a few contractor friends, landscapers, and told them about the farm and told them what we needed. And they, you know, made sure just to give us the... you know, cleanest leaves, and, you know, they would go around with their vacuum truck, and they would, you know, rake it into one line and then vacuum it up into a big box truck and then bring it to the farm and dump it, and then we would regrind it. So it's already been chopped by the box truck, and then it gets reground by this huge machine, and...
Wait, what's the leaf chopper that you're using? Is it just like a chipper?
No, well, yeah, it's a stump grinder. It's a Morbark waste recycler.
Whoa.
And it a friend has two of them, and there aren't many jobs right now. A lot of contractors, you know, equipment is sitting. And he has these waste recyclers sitting, and he brought it over to the farm, and chopping up leaves is... you know, like nothing for it. It's probably, you know, good just to get the thing started up every once in a while.
Machines sitting idle must be brought into use, building soil for the farms of the future. It sounds like a wonderful...
Yeah, I mean, and it's cool. It's like a waste recycler, and we're turning leaves that would be, you know, thrown out and turning them into really useful material, you know.
But you're also, one of the things, my friend Christy, she runs a farm in Boston, really, really in the suburbs, and she gets lots and lots of grass cuttings and stuff, leaves. She said that was awesome to find that, but she really wanted some animal wastes, and that was kind of a challenge because there weren't too many dairies.
There's a lot of rabbit farmers in the city. There's a lot of people with pets.
Oh.
And rabbit manure is really good.
Yeah, rabbit manure is really good. Wait, you're using rabbit manure mostly?
No, I'm saying that's in the city. She could probably locate a lot of rabbit people if she just posted that online or something.
Yeah, the trick would be transporting it around.
Yeah.
And having enough.
Yeah,
but
I have.
Tell us where you're getting your manure from.
There's a lot of horse farms around here, throughout Westchester and Fairfield County. There's thousands of horses all producing, 100 pounds of manure a day. And a lot of it gets composted on the farm. A lot of these horses are on people's private property, and they just have a compost pile that just sits there for 10 years and builds up, and you can go and shovel it out. I just have a local farm. They just throw it right in a truck and bring it over and dump it off right at the farm.
Whoa. What's the name of this farm, by the way?
The horse farm?
No, the baseball field farm.
The baseball field? It's called Field of Greens.
Field of Greens.
Uh-huh.
That's very exciting. I must say, it's a thrilling visual and a wonderful community story. And what I wanted to just ask you is if there's ways, in specific ways, that people who maybe live nearby or not even that nearby could engage and help you, if there's things that you need or specific kinds of help that you're looking for in the next year, call it out. What do you need?
I think, we did have a couple farm parties last year, a spring or a summer one and a fall one, and we're definitely going to, throw that invitation out there again and get people over to the farm. We're going to keep posting pictures of the farm as we go along the season and hopefully be posting, something for volunteers to guide them. But it is, right now it's just a few people, helping out and opening it online is like something that we haven't done yet. Probably we'll do this season.
So you maybe need help with getting a few bands together, maybe some keg donations from some local breweries?
Anything. I want people to come to the farm and, feel comfortable, just walk around, I have a hard time telling people what to do because farming is like, a lot of it is, monotonous, hard, shoveling or moving rocks or weeding. And, it's a community place and getting people there, artwork, just going hiking, music, taking pictures or just enjoying the place is, all that I really want,
Well, I admire what you're doing a lot, and it's good that the rock moving is in the beginning and not 2 years down that you discover all these rocks. I think it matches,
yeah.
In many ways, it matches the young muscles up with the big jobs, and then once you build your soil, there's much less toil.
Yeah.
So I wish you much luck in this project, and if you're interested, dear radio listeners, to get involved and come to the parties and maybe help him put up a website or in some way contribute to this fabulous emergent art form, which is this baseball field farm called Field of Greens, you can get in touch with Alec. How?
You can email me.
And what's your email?
AlecGifford@Yahoo.
Well, there you go. So, that's that. We're almost done. I wanted to make a few plugs about a few things before we go. The first of which is the NOFA New York. Oh, sorry. We had the NOFA New York mixer, and it was wonderful. I met lots and lots of wonderful people and fabulous band called the Buff Orpington Quartet, who are out of, New Hamburg, New York, right along the river of the Hudson River. And they're wonderful, wonderful, energetic agrarian band. They are farmers who run Common Ground and who run Poughkeepsie Farm Project. So that's a pretty great scene. And we had a lot of folks making felted necklaces and carding wool and molding beeswax. And we had a really cool video, archival video installation. And it was awesome. And we're going to do it all again next month on February 22nd in Burlington, Vermont. And it's at the Firehouse, which is a local venue in downtown Burlington. Information on the blog, but that's the mixer for NOFA Vermont. NOFA, of course, is our fabulous regional sustainable ag organization founded by only one generation ago by our elders in this movement, and obviously inhabited now by the spirit of this next generation, and so beautifully accommodated in our rambunctious singing in the hallways. And it was such a nice time up in Saratoga Springs. The other thing, just to put on your horizon, is our upcoming Hoggett event, and that is on the 20th of March, upstate New York. Hoggett is a one-year-old lamb, and Hoggett is a very good meat to eat. It comes from the grass. It's very appropriate to this region. And we're going to do a Hoggett cook-off at Kinderhook Farm in partnership with McEnroe Farm and in partnership with Animal Welfare Approved. And a few different kinds of things are going to be prepared by a few different kinds of chefs, some from the city and some from the country. And you should make sure you RSVP early if you want to come, because it's going to be not that many slots. Again, that's the Vernal Equinox Hoggett cook-off. All these things and more you can learn about online at our blog. It is www.thegreenhorns.wordpress.com. Thank you all so much for being such wonderful radio listeners. Our listenership is up, up, up. The farmers are growing. It's very exciting, and we are sponsored by Hearst Ranch. This is Severin. This is Greenhorns Radio. Have a lovely afternoon.